I'm Matthew, and I'm the youth director here at Nelson Avenue Community Church. I have been for probably about the last 6 months now, and I want to say that it's been an absolutely amazing time so far. We have an amazing group of students that are here. Some of them are even coming on their vacation to come to support me, and I really appreciate that. It's been absolutely fantastic. And, you know, it also hasn't just been, you know, being the youth director, though. I haven't just, like, hung out with the youth. I get to spend time with the seniors every Tuesday during the year, and that's been absolutely amazing. They've welcomed me in, and it's kind of like I have 20 different grandparents that are always looking out for me, taking care of me. Like, it's incredible. And so I'm really just thankful and overwhelmed. And I know Brian, I don't think, is here, but I want to let you guys in on a little secret. So when I had my first Skype interview, I don't know if Brian actually knows this, but the beauty of a Skype interview is that when you have your computer open, it's only the top half that's showing, right? So I was like, oh man, like, I got to get ready for this interview. This is important to me. You know, I got to dress well. It looks good when you dress up really nicely. But I actually only wore a dress shirt on top. And then on the bottom, I was definitely in, like, some sport short kind of pajama bottom kind of thing. So don't tell Brian that. He doesn't know that yet. So just letting you guys in on a little secret. And so I also just want to take a quick moment here to sneak an announcement in as well. The youth ministry is rolling. You know, we're meeting every week now. We're doing a lot of good things. In a couple of weeks, we're going up to the Salvation Army Church. We made some care packages. We're going to go spend some time handing those out. And it's been amazing. The kids are inviting friends, but since they are inviting friends, we need more people to help us, right? Because as the ministry grows, we need that support. And so if you're interested at all about coming to help out at youth ministry, just give me an email, or you can call me, or you can even find me after the service. We'd love it if you guys could actually join us. And so now that I've got a little bit more comfortable up here, putting the nerves aside with my announcements, I'm going to start the message. And so today, we're going to be talking about FOMO. And FOMO, I know, might sound funny. It's a weird kind of abbreviation. But once we define it, I think it's going to be something that all of us have probably felt in our lives. And FOMO is actually the fear of missing out. And so the fear of missing out on different moments, or, you know, maybe it's the fear of doing well on a school assignment, or the fear of giving somebody a gift, which we're going to talk about later. But FOMO can come in a variety of different ways. And so today we're going to be taking a little bit more of a look at the technology side of things, how technology has made this fear of missing out more, I guess, I don't necessarily know if it's accessible, but it happens more now because there's so many more distractions. And so I'd like to invite Peter up, and Peter, you're going to give the word for us this morning as we start. I guess you could use your iPhone. I mean, it's a good thing, but
hear a story from Jesus, the rich man and Lazarus. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been set in place, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot. Nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family. For I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "and if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to him, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. The word of the Lord.
Awesome. Thank you, Peter. So how does this 21st century abbreviation, FOMO, that even your 24-year-old youth director didn't know about until a couple of weeks ago, apply to our sermon series? And, you know, we're talking about what kind of smartphone would Jesus buy? And so I think our passage this morning is showing us a little bit that, you know, this concept of FOMO isn't just something that is of today, okay? It's something that's been around for almost 2,000 years, right? And so I'm going to go through the story again just to kind of set the stage a little bit more so we can see just how FOMO does actually relate to this parable. Okay, so in our story, we have this rich man, okay? And the rich man, he's not just your typical rich man, all right? He doesn't just have, you know, the money of a rich man. He's actually got the linens. He's dressed to the nines. He looks the part. And he was, frankly, he was royalty in his time. And so that's quite the stark contrast from our poor man Lazarus, okay? Because Lazarus was so poor, he was so broken, he was so covered in sores that even the dogs that were in that area were coming up to him to actually lick his wounds. And so this shows us that our man was probably a man that, I mean, I hate to say it, but maybe even some of us have neglected in our times as we're walking on the streets. We see people like this all the time. And so I think a lot of us can actually see what Lazarus might actually look like. And so I also want to add something, that the rich man never receives a name, okay? So the rich man is simply the rich man. Lazarus actually has a name. And that represents the fact that any of us could actually be the rich man, right? It doesn't have to be that we have millions of dollars to be rich, right? I mean, even a little bit of money these days can kind of be rich. But what the scripture is getting at is that it's a problem when we misuse this wealth. And that's what happened with the rich man. He was given a blessing from the Lord, and he actually ended up making it his only focus, okay? And so, like our poor man, he had absolutely nothing. And so he, like as it said, and I said earlier, like he only had the scraps from the table. And so because of this, he was actually able to focus on his relationship with Christ more. And so because of that, he found favor in God's eyes, right? As the scripture says, he was carried up by angels to be by Abraham's side, okay? And so Abraham's side was essentially meaning paradise, right? Which is going to be, again, another contrast from the rich man who went to spend time in Hades. And Hades was, I mean, at this point in the New Testament, Hades is where everybody would go to be tormented and to suffer, frankly. And that's what he did. And so as he's there, he sees Abraham with Lazarus by his side, and he's crying out. He's saying, hey, Abraham, can you at least, like, dip your finger in some water and just stick it in my mouth so that, you know, some of the suffering actually gets alleviated? And Abraham responds to him by saying, hey, you know, like, you received your good things on earth, but that was the only thing you focused on. Whereas Lazarus, he didn't have anything good on earth, but because of that, he wasn't distracted. And so he got to have a relationship with the Lord, and in return is now spending eternity in paradise. But I also want to say for us that our phones, they're not going to send us to Hades right away, okay? You're not going to look down at your phone screen and God's going to be like, okay, you know, you're getting distracted, now you're going to suffer for it, okay? But what I do want to say is that when our phones become the only focus in our lives, and that might sound a little bit extreme, okay, but there's a lot of different things that we can do on our phones, right? To name a few, and these are things that are good, right? You know, we can take pictures on our phones. We can play games on our phones. That's one that I struggle with. Me and my brother play Risk. Sometimes we start playing at midnight, and it just goes way too late, and I'm like, well, where did the time go? But we play Risk, and then you can take care of banking. You can read emails. You know, you can read your Bibles. So we can do a variety of different things on these little devices, which shows us that they're versatile creations, right? What I'm trying to get at, though, is that it's not a good thing when it becomes the lens through which we view the world. Right? I had the opportunity to go to the fireworks last night, and that was actually the first fireworks that I'd ever sat through where I didn't lift my phone up and start taking pictures. And it was so refreshing because I was actually viewing it as if it was there. And I believe that that's how God wants us to view the world as well. He doesn't want us to view it through our phone screens. He wants us to actually look up to Him and spend time with Him. And so, I mean, I'm not getting off scot-free, Okay, for those of you that know me, I have about 4 Instagram accounts. For those of you that didn't know that, now you know that. I have a bunch of Instagram accounts. And that was my kind of FOMO, okay? And so for those of you who don't know what Instagram is, it's an app where you take pictures, you post them, it puts it into like a little feed. It's basically Facebook, but just pictures. And so with my 4 accounts, I would spend an absolute absurd amount of time trying to take pictures, trying to make my profile look perfect. I was like, I saw these guys that had thousands, hundreds of thousands of followers, and they were making money with it, and I was like, oh, I want to do that. So I was fixated on it. And so it became my only focus. And, you know, you guys all know that I came from Chilliwack, right? And so with Chilliwack, we have the mountains, we have the river, we have the lake. Those were all times before where I used to go there to actually spend time to read my Bible, to reflect on what God was teaching me, and to draw closer to Him. But since I now had this fear of missing out on a good picture that I could post so that my, you know, my followers could see it, all of a sudden those places that I used to go to get closer to the Lord, like, it didn't have that, like, it didn't have that meaning to it anymore, you know? Like I was saying, I would go there to take a picture rather than going there to read my Bible. And all these different experiences that I were having, they weren't moments for God anymore. They were moments for my Instagram account, right? So I found myself always looking down on my phone and never actually looking up to God anymore. And because of that, you know, my life suffered. And, you know, I'm one of those kind of people that if I'm not spending enough time with the Lord and I'm not doing my devotions enough, I get a little cranky. It's kind of like some of us experience when you get hangry and you haven't eaten food and you get a little bit on edge. That's what I experienced without actually feeling that hunger with doing my devotions and getting closer to God. But also what I want to say is that it doesn't just have to be Instagram that is our thing, right? That's just one small little app that's on social media. I know that tons of us probably watch television. You know, we go on websites all the time. We follow sports, which is another one of mine. I love following the Golden State Warriors. I know they won the championship, which was awesome. But I would, again, sacrifice time with God to watch those games. I would even record them, watch them at night, and in return, I would forget to do my devotions. And so I want us to get kind of the glimpse that this whole concept of FOMO, it can also go greater than just technology, okay? But what I want to do is I want to linger on the television for a minute. So I know that a lot of us, and I mean, I want to get you guys interacting here. I want you guys to raise your hands if you watch television regularly. And it's one of those things where you're like, oh man, there's a TV show that I need to catch, and if I don't catch it, yeah, I'm going to miss out on something. So how many of us watch TV? That's definitely one of my things that I do. Yeah. So I know a lot of people that actually, I guess, religiously watch TV almost. It's as if like they watch TV, and like how I was getting cranky when I missed my devotions, that's what would happen when people would watch television. And if they couldn't watch the show, it was like, oh man, I'm going to miss that out. I'm going to miss out on getting to talk about it with my friends. I'm going to, you know, miss out on what's happening next, and then I'm going to have to go and try to find some kind of way to watch it because I didn't watch it on TV, and we fixate on it, and we worry about it, right? It distracts us, and it consumes us. And so one of the things when I was writing this message that I got really convicted about is that I don't spend nearly enough time, I guess, experiencing FOMO or fixating on, you know, my relationship with God as much as I do when I miss out on these different kinds of moments, right? I also know for me, it can be different moments. It can be good moments. I love to go hiking, right? Like I said earlier. But sometimes that hiking, when I haven't gone in a while, it's like, I want to go hiking for myself. I'm like, oh, you know, like I love that feeling of getting out. And then I kind of forget, as I said before, it's one of those things that I used to do to get closer to the Lord. But I tend to forget about that sometimes because I view all these good things and I'm selfish about it. And that's what happens with our rich man. See, our rich man, he didn't do anything really wrong, right? He had wealth, which, I mean, I don't think is wrong. It's wrong when you treat it poorly, right? And so our rich man wasn't actually going through any of these crazy sins. And so I want us to take a look at some Bible characters that are here. And so, you know, it wasn't just the rich man that didn't set his gaze upon the Lord. We can look at people like Paul. Paul committed terrible atrocities against the Jews, right? He was killing them and murdering them, and he was distracted in this way, but God got a firm grip of him and said, hey, like, I need you to be one of my servants. And so he you know, he woke him up in that way. Moses, you know, who led the Israelites out of Egypt, he actually killed an Egyptian and didn't want to have any part in leading them out because he was really nervous about it. And David, I think, is one of the examples that really jumped out at me, is that David was having a fear of missing out on what he thought was having a relationship or sleeping with the most beautiful woman that was in his eyes, right? And I mean, we all know how that kind of worked out, right? He had to eventually get a man killed, and he did all these different things to cover his tracks, right? But through all these different characters, it was the fact that God still wanted a moment with them. God was reaching out to them, grabbed a hold of them, and said, hey, like, I need you. I want to spend time with you. And God wants to do that in our lives, right? Now, I know for all of us, it might not necessarily be the social media. It might not be our phones. I know a lot of us might not even use our phones that much or use the phone apps. But it can also be different things. Like, how many of us remember, I don't remember this personally, but how many of us remember the first time that the landline phone got brought out? And I'm assuming that those that had the landline phone at the beginning, my mom was sharing this with me, she was saying that people would spend hours and hours and hours sitting just talking on the phone, right? But that is something that's good, right? Talking on the phone is fantastic. But when it becomes a distraction and a barrier to us actually furthering our relationship with Jesus, that's when I think it can become an issue, right? And so there was also the first television set. I'm sure that when the first television set came out, again, I wasn't there, so I don't know too much. But I'm assuming that, I mean, it wasn't like high definition. You didn't have a whole lot of channels to flick through compared to what we have now. But it was still probably so fascinating and so cool that we were all like, hey, we can actually watch television. And it probably consumed a lot of our time after that, right? One thing I do remember is the Atari. My dad had an Atari, so I kind of got to play it a little bit, you know, play the first Nintendo system. My parents had to put a time limit because we would spend so much time. So kids today that could spend hours playing video games, I only got a half an hour when I was growing up. It was absolutely terrible. And I would try to sneak on at night. Didn't really work out too well. But the fact is that my parents realized that this was going to be an issue, and they tried to put these boundaries on it to make sure that it didn't get out of control. And so we can see through the rich man that we can take good things and we can misuse them, right? We can mistreat them. But another example that I want us to look at, and it's kind of relevant to our passage because it's the guy that Lazarus is standing behind, right? Or beside. It's Abraham. And Abraham is a man that got tons and tons of wealth, right? He was given a whole bunch of livestock, right? He got all of these different kinds of things. But he started out with sinning, right? He committed sins, you know, with his wife and covering all that kind of stuff up, right? So Abraham didn't actually get off scot-free. But again, this is a radical turnaround through a relationship with Jesus and a moment with him. I guess at that time it was with Yahweh, right? Where our lives can get completely turned around. And because Abraham was willing to pursue God again, despite all the distractions, he became the father of all nations, right? And so it's kind of cool that we have this rich man who's on one side, who has all of this wealth, has really done nothing wrong, and he neglects God because of that. And then on the other side, we have Abraham, who also had riches and livestock and wealth, and he did pursue God. So we see that it actually is possible to have good things, but use them in such a way that it's not going to always be deterring us and distracting us. And so, you know, my four Instagram profiles, it's a little bit embarrassing for me to talk about that, actually, now that I think about it. But my profiles, they're going to go outdated, right? There's going to be a new app that's going to come along. I'll probably download it. I'll probably get an account. You know, things are always changing. And again, fashion trends, they're going to change. Our rich man was always wanting the best linens. He was wearing the purple linens, and so he wanted to look really nice all the time. And so I like to compare that to what we see on the streets today, is like people that are, and I mean, there's nothing wrong about, I mean, James, you wear a suit and it looks absolutely fantastic, and he's a servant of the Lord, and obviously shows that dressing well doesn't necessarily mean anything, but like, I mean, no, it means something. You look fantastic. I gotta clear that up right away here, okay? But our rich man, it was his only focus. And I've met some people when I've been out, and that's all they care about, is just trying to spend money, money, money to get the latest fashion trends so that they can look the best, because they're like, hey, I'm going to miss out on looking the greatest. And I see that everywhere that I go, right? And so those fashion trends, they're always going to change. And so these people that are trying so hard because they feel like they're missing out on getting the latest trend, you know, that void that they're trying to fill is never going to go fulfilled. Same thing with social media and the apps. There's always going to be these new ones coming out. And if we're trying to fill the void that is in our hearts with that kind of stuff, and it's always changing, it's never actually going to fulfill anything for us. And so, like I said before, we can't make it our only focus, okay? And so, something, again, that my mom's fantastic. Another thing that she was reminding me of is that, you know, now that I think about it, God probably experiences FOMO as well, right? It's not just us that are here that are experiencing FOMO. It's not just, you know, the rich man that was experiencing FOMO. I think God is up in heaven, and he looks down on us and sees us getting distracted all the time. And these are kind of like, the way that I view the distractions, it's like if Jesus was walking out on the street right now, which would be wild, but then there was a whole bunch of barriers in the way, and I was trying to get out there, I was trying to reach him, I was trying to go out there so I could hold his hand and get to know him, but all of these different things were stopping me from doing that, right? And so our rich man is a prime example of how it doesn't need to be the big sins that are going to, you know, push us away from God. Okay, our rich man, like I've said a few times here, absolutely did nothing wrong. I mean, compared to what David did, compared to what Moses did, right? But the rich man, I think he actually committed one of the greatest sins. Right? He didn't murder anybody, but he rejected God. He didn't want anything to do with him. Our rich man was so focused on himself that when I was going through and writing the message, the biblical scholar said that he didn't even open his eyes to the people that were around him that were actually in need, right? So he wasn't even aware of other people, just the things that he cared about, right? And I think that's when it becomes an issue. And so one of the things that I want to leave us with before we move into communion is that if we are going to experience FOMO, which I don't necessarily think that FOMO is a bad thing, I just think that if we're going to struggle with it and we're going to deal with it, I think it just needs to be the fear of missing out on a moment with God. Because he's placing all of these different encounters in front of us, right? And so it's like one thing that I struggled with a little bit when I was going through Bible school, right, is that we would always try to spend time praying and trying to, like, hear from God, and we would do these kind of, like, big, like, prayer days where it was almost like a pep rally, right? And I would never hear God in that way, right? Maybe it was just me, and, you know, because God speaks in many different ways. But we never actually took a whole lot of time just to slow down and just to listen, right? For me, that the prayer days and that kind of stuff, such a good thing, but it became a distraction, right? We'd have the band up there, they were playing with the guitars, you know, my friend was rocking in like a little solo, and I'm like, oh, okay, it's a little bit crazy for church, but we do that kind of stuff, and it just, I wouldn't draw closer to the Lord. And I know for some of you guys that does, but we need to figure out where the distractions are at in our lives, because, you know, they look different for all of us. For me, you know, I've had to take a step back from Instagram. You know, I'm not posting every day, making sure that they look the best. Okay, I'm not playing Risk every day with my brother. I had to take steps back because I saw that it was actually, I want to even say, like, ruining my relationship with Jesus. You know, and so what I think we need to do is we need to kind of take maybe an itinerary or a checklist. I don't know if those words are sitting in right here. But we need to kind of look at our lives and write down the different things that we think are distractions. Because that's such a practical way where you can see all the different things that you're putting in front of God, right? It's kind of like, you know, those little things you used to have that would make all the little sparkles. You look through them and everything would look crazy. I don't know. Kaleidoscope, right? It's like if you took a kaleidoscope and you saw Jesus there and you were like, hey, I want to see you. And you stuck kaleidoscopes over your eyes. You wouldn't really be able to make them out that well. Right? And so that's what I'm getting at, is that all these distractions can cloud our view of what Jesus should be to us. And so we're going to be doing communion this morning, and Angela's going to lead us in that. And I think communion is kind of a good way to get our gaze back on God, right? I mean, we're celebrating the sacrifice, and that's the beauty of it, is that, you know, even if you are distracted or you're living in sin in your life right now, you don't have to live that way, right? And I know for all of us, most of us that are in this room, we're all believers. I mean, that's why we're here this morning. Some of us might not be, though. But that doesn't mean that we're going to not have shortcomings, not have, you know, downfalls in our lives, right? That's, you know, that was social media for me, and we have to take the steps to actually get around that, right? And so, you know, at the end of the day, the rich man, I kind of want to say that he kind of scares me in a sense. Not because I think the rich man's going to be like the boogeyman and things are going to be really crazy, but the rich man scares me in a sense that he's really similar to me, like to myself. You know, he had all this wealth, and again, like we've learned this morning, it doesn't have to be wealth. But I've gone through so many phases in my life where I put my relationship with Jesus on the back burner, and I kind of neglected a little bit, right? And from studying this, and what I want us to walk away with is that that's a problem, right? I mean, I think in a sense that that might even be a sin, right? Our rich man is suffering now in Hades because that's what he did. He didn't actually take time to invest into his relationship. And so I think communion is always a good way to bring it back. And so I'm going to pray for us as we step into communion, and Angela's going to come up and lead us in that. So God, we thank you for today, and we thank you for the message that you gave us this morning about this whole concept of FOMO. And although it sounds funny, it's actually something that's really serious, Lord, and I pray that we would take it seriously, and that we would try to set down some of the distractions and barriers that we're putting up in our lives, and that we would fix our gaze back upon you, that we wouldn't be looking down on the time, but we would actually take time to look up, Lord. And so I think that's our prayer as we go into this next week, Lord. I pray that we would be intentional about spending time with you and making sure that we don't miss out on the moments that you want to spend with us, Lord. And so as we go through communion, I pray that we would take time to reflect on how this is an important moment that we get to spend with you. Amen.